Turn with me to John chapter 6 this morning. I want us to see what God can do when something gets in His hands this morning. We began looking at this 6th chapter of John last Sunday morning, went straight to the heart of the chapter. It is about the bread of life. It is about the true bread that cometh down from heaven. And we mentioned last Sunday morning that our house, usually, we don't sit down at the table until the bread is ready. Could I remind you, there are a number of times in the Word of God that Christ and salvation are pictured as bread. I want to say to you this morning, both are ready. Both are available unto you. The bread is ready. You ought to come eat this morning if you're hungry, if you've never had a taste of heavenly bread this morning. You know, it's possible for you to cut out bread out of your diet if you count carbs and all that crazy stuff some folks do. You can do that and survive, but you will not survive without spiritual bread, the bread of heaven, the true bread of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is Christ, the true bread, and then there's all the rest. That's how simple it is. There's Christ, and then there's all the rest. This morning, for a moment or two, I want to magnify wonder bread. Wonder bread. Now, I'm not talking about that store brand in the white wrapper, remember, with the colored polka dots on it. I think one time I talked my mom into buying a loaf of that. And she said, "This is just nothing but overpriced plain bread." And the next week we went back to Bunny Bread, and we never got any more Wonder Bread at the house. But I'm interested in the Wonder Bread here in John chapter 6. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up in the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He always knows what he will do. And Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that they may every one of them take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world." And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. I'm not talking this morning. We're not looking this morning at plain bread. We're not looking this morning again at man-made bread. No, but this miracle bread, this wonder bread that comes from the very hands of our Lord himself. This is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. That means the Lord really wants us to see it and really wants us to get it. This is probably one of the most preached on miracles in the Word of God. And usually, at least one vacation Bible school lesson is on this miracle. So I'll tell you up front this morning, I don't have anything new to say unto you this morning. But I pray that we might see. But beyond that, I pray that we might taste. Beyond that, that we might eat again of the wonder bread, the bread of life, and the wonder bread of God. The three main thoughts I pray we'll go away with this morning that the Holy Ghost, I believe, would have us to see from this passage and this wonder bread this morning. There is the size of the need. There is the supply of the need. And then there is the satisfaction of the need. And it doesn't matter this morning what your need is. There is wonder bread that will meet that need. There is a supply for your bread. Oh my, he can meet every need in the building this morning, oh my, and still be able to meet every other need that arises. And then his bread, this bread satisfies. Your need cannot merely be met. Your need can be satisfied. This crowd's not just going to be fed. They're going to be fed full. And they're going to be satisfied. All because of wonder bread. Now may the Lord drive those thoughts in our hearts this morning. And I pray He will by considering things. I want you to note with me again, nothing new here this morning. But don't let familiarity breed contempt in your heart. Say, well, I've heard all that. I know all that. No, no, no. I want you to notice with me this morning the lack and the largeness. I've read about a lack and largeness in this passage. There's a lack of food. Mark's gospel tells us that they didn't have any food. The five loaves and the two fishes are so insignificant. They're so small, their Mark doesn't even count them as food. There is a lack. There's a lack of food in this passage. There's a lack of money in this passage. Philip says, even if we had 200 penny loaf, even if we had 7 months' salary, a penny, a denarius is what it literally is, was the day pay for a day labor. So for about 200 days, Philip said, if we had the pay, 200 days of labor, why, that would even buy enough for everybody just to get a little taste. Not everybody get a sandwich. Not everybody have a little taste. But guess what? They don't have 200 penny loaf. But even if they had 200 penny loaf, there's not just a lack of money. There's a lack of supply. There's no place to buy the bread. Had they had all of them, had they had 400 penny loaf, had they had all money available, there was no place to buy any bread. I mean, they are gripped by a lack. There's a lack of time here. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. They don't have time to go somewhere and find food before it gets dark. In fact, Mark tells us that the day is far spent. And Matthew tells us it's evening. So they have a lack of time. There's a lack of food. There's a lack of money. There's a lack of supply. There's a lack of faith, though, here that's the biggest lack. The greatest lack in the passage is the lack of faith on the part of the disciples. In fact, here's the disciples' solution. Send them away. Send them away. Let them fend for themselves. Maybe they'll forget that they're hungry.
Not for long. If you've ever really been hungry, you might get your mind on something else for a little while. But then that gnawing pain, that gnawing need. And there is much in this passage about a lack, about a lack, about a lack. Oh my. In fact, as they look at the lack, what they have, the truth is all they see is largeness. All they see is the largeness of the problem, the largeness of the need that is in front of them. They see a need that is so large they can't meet it. They see a need that is so large it is beyond them. Five times I read in your hearing, five times the Holy Ghost notes for us the largeness, the size, not just of the need, the size of the crowd, the size of the crowd. In verse 2, back here we read, it's a great multitude. In verse 5, there again, there's a great company. In verse 7, there's so many that every one of them, all of them, could only take a little. In verse 9, there are so many. And finally in verse 10, they put a number on it. There's 5,000 men. That's not men and women. It's just 5,000 men. If you double that, triple that, you got at least probably 15,000 people there. And that's all the disciples see. They see the lack. They see the largeness. They see how big this need is. They see how big this problem is. Oh my. But can I remind you, the Holy Ghost five times notes the largeness of the crowd. Because five, I remind you, and you know this, five is the number of grace. I'll tell you this morning, God's grace can meet every need. God's grace can meet every need that is in this place this morning. Oh my, there's lack and there's largeness in this text. But notice with me, there's a lunch, and littleness in this text. It's not just that there's largeness, there's littleness here. There's this little lunch. Now, by the way, let me remind you, at this point, the disciples have already seen him turn water into wine. The disciples have already seen him heal there the nobleman's son. The disciples have already seen him say to that man sick of palsy, take up thy bed and walk. They've already seen the power and the might of God again and again and again and again. And at first it maybe appears we can hold out maybe a little bit of hope for Andrew. At first it may appear that, well, Andrew's got some faith. But then Andrew adds that but. He says, well, there's a lad here with five loaves and two fishes, but what are they among so? What are they among such a large crowd? Oh, my. Would to God Andrew said, here's five loaves and two fishes. Wait, you see what Jesus can do with this? Oh, my. But no. The largeness. Littleness and largeness, the lack and the lunch has consumed them. And this lunch is so little. I mean, it'll just get this little boy. It'll just get this lad of a boy. It'll just hold him over to supper time. So we're not talking about a lot. We're talking about a little. If you please, the lad's little. The lunch is little. But the Lord is big. The lad's little, the lunch is little. But hallelujah, little is much when God is in it. And I don't know what little may be pressing in on you this morning. I don't know what lack may have be as a shadow, a cloud over you this morning. But oh my, there is some wonder bread. There is some wonder bread that you can partake of and have your need met this morning. But as we think of this, as we think of this lunch and the littleness here, it's barley bread. It's the sorriest type of bread that there was. They usually used barley simply to feed animals. Barley bread is the poorest of bread. It had to have been gluten-free, like cardboard. Barley bread, I know you gluten-free people. It's barley bread. Now, not from the Bible, okay? Not from the Bible, from the Mishnah. That's all those rules and regulations of the scribes and the Pharisees and the legalists. They said that if a woman had ever been caught in adultery, if she ever after that brought a meal offering, it was to be of barley. Because barley was food for beasts. And one that would commit adultery is but a beast. I'm saying to you, barley bread was looked down upon. Barley bread is the poorest of the bread. I mean, nobody eats barley bread unless that's all they got to eat and they don't have anything but barley bread to eat. In fact, in the Old Testament, remember, the Midianites scorned. The Midianites made fun of Gideon. They called him, he's a barley cake. And then when we read these loaves, now don't get the wrong idea. We're not talking about one of our loaves of bread. Got maybe a dozen and a half or so slices in it. No. These loaves here, maybe just like a big large cracker. Not any bigger than the palm of your hand. If they were even that big, it may have taken that little boy. It may have taken the lad both of his hands to hold the five loaves and the two fishes. But all of it together could have easily fit in the hand of a man. I'm talking about littleness. I mean, it looks like all they got to work with. Well, that's right. That's all they had to work with. And if all you've got is what you've got to work with, you're going to stay hungry. But hallelujah, there's miracle bread. There's wonder bread. There's the bread of life. There's the true bread of heaven that, oh my, can do for you and me what we cannot do for ourselves. Oh man. And then these fish. And did you notice something? I didn't notice it. I'll be honest. I didn't notice it till I read the text a second ago. Do you notice? Verse 13. They fill the 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves. Fish don't even get mentioned right there. That's how little and scrawny and sorry they are. Oh my. Oh my. In fact, our word for sardine comes from this word for fish. We're not talking about a big bass. When I talk about some big catfish, we're talking about some little old sardines that were most likely they were pickled. I mean, he wasn't carrying a thermos jug around. He didn't have ice chests with him. They didn't have any ice. And they're small. They're there just as a side to maybe help him get that barley bread down. Maybe just to help him swallow the barley bread. There are these two scrawny fish. We got five scrawny loaves. We got two scrawny fish. Oh my. I mean, a need that is so, so large. And oh my, of the supply of men that is so, so little. But we're not talking this morning merely about the supply of men. We're talking about bread from heaven. We're talking about wonder bread and the bread of life himself. Oh my. Maybe all you have this morning, sitting here listening, maybe all you have this morning, oh my, compared to your need this morning, What you've got seen so little? And it very likely could be. What you have very likely could be so little. But oh my, don't pull a Philip. Don't pull an Andrew. No. Philip and Andrew and the rest of that crowd, they left Christ out of their calculations, oh my, this morning. Oh yes, there's littleness when it comes to their supply, but oh my, there is the wonder bread, oh my, that is about to be multiplied to feed unto them. So if this morning your need and what you have seems so little, or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you see yourself as so little, oh my, I remind you of what the Lord says. That he has chosen, he has chosen the weak things of this world, the small, the insignificant things of this world to confound the wise. Oh my, there is this lack and largeness here. There is this lunch and littleness here. But we want to look at the wonder bread. There is the Lord and this lavishness here. There is the Lord and this wonder bread that's here. Now, verse 1 is significant. After these things. That's a significant statement. John's putting a time stamp. After these things. What things? Jesus has been preaching almost nonstop. We don't realize it from John's gospel, but Jesus has just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's been preaching almost nonstop, almost all day long. In fact, he's been so busy preaching, he's been so busy ministering, he's been so busy attending the needs that they don't even have time to eat. That's what Mark tells us in Mark 6. And when Jesus came, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards them. He says there, I'm not reading a long verse. I was reading verse 34, it's verse 31. He says, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. For there were many, there's that largeness again. There were many coming and going. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, it's been a busy day. It's been nonstop since the sun got up. And he's preaching and he's teaching and he's healing folks. And he's ministering unto them. Then, we know from the other gospels, at this same time, after these things in verse 1 is significant, at this same time, word comes, John the Baptist has been beheaded. And then we note that the Passover is nigh, where those lambs are slain. I want you to know the thought of death is looming, no doubt on the heart and the mind of our Lord. He knows he's the Passover lamb. He knows he is headed to the cross. And that John has died. And he looks at this crowd who they are like sheep without a shepherd on mine. And he's weary and he's tired. If there surely was ever a time for a person maybe to want to get away by themselves. If there surely was ever a time somebody would want to withdraw and not have to tend to somebody else. If there surely was a time for somebody, even the Lord, to draw away and to pray. It's this time, but no. He's not trying to draw away. He's come near. Bread's ready. Bread's available this morning if you need it. For he's moved with compassion. Mark and Matthew tell us he's moved with compassion as he sees this crowd and their need. He's moved with compassion because of their need. He's moved with compassion because of them. And I'll tell you this morning, he's moved in touch with compassion this morning because of your need. He's moved and touched with compassion this morning because of you this morning. Oh my, don't miss. Don't get so focused on the lunch. Don't get so focused on the largeness of the crowd and the littleness of the lunch that you miss the Lord. They miss the Lord and the wonder bread that is in this passage. Oh my. So you know what the Lord does? The Lord just takes the fish. And the Lord just takes the bread and he gives thanks. No doubt some of that crowd are saying to themselves, why in the world is he thanking the Father for 5 scrawny pieces of bread and 2 sardines? Oh man. Well, it was 5 scrawny loaves of barley bread and it was 2 fish when it was in their hands. But as soon as it got into his hands, little is about to become much. And the Lord thanks the Father. And the Lord goes to handing out the bread. And the Lord goes to handing out the fish. He hands out bread. He hands out fish. How did it happen? I don't know. Did he break one loaf and it become 2 loaves? Did he break one sardine and it become 2 sardines? Or did he hand it and it became, and one after another, like that woman's cruse of oil that stayed? I mean, he did. I don't know this, but I do know this. It was wonder bread. Because look here. This bread hasn't been sown, grown, ground or baked. They're not having to sit around and wait for a crop to come in. No, they've got a need and God gives them wonder bread. He supernaturally provides and does. These fish, they're miracle fish. They've not been hatched. They've not been caught. They've been created supernaturally. Created by the hand of God himself. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's bread, there's wonder bread, there's a supply for your every need this morning. Oh my. And you notice, none leave this meal wishing there was more. Because there was more. Now let me run that by again. Nobody leaves with you. Man, I wish I'd have had another biscuit. I could have sure used another one of them sardines. Nobody leaves wishing there was more. There was more. 12 more baskets. 12 more baskets. 12 is the number of government. You can mark this down this morning. God and his supply can rule your life. God and his supply can meet your need this morning. Oh my, oh my. Now, Brother Joe likes to preach that they sent that boy home with those 12 baskets. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know who got the 12 baskets. I know this, whoever got them, they ate a lot of bread and they ate a lot of fish for several more days. You know why some of y'all are trying just to get by? And why some of you, that's all you're doing, you're just getting by? Because you've not been eating any wonder bread. There is the true bread sent down from heaven and his supply is unlimited and his supply is vast. There's not just enough. Are you listening this morning? There's not just enough to meet your need. There's more. There's more. There's more than enough to meet your need. I said the Lord here in lavish. It says he distributed. And they ate, there it is, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. It's an all-you-could-eat buffet. All-you-could-eat buffet. Matthew and Mark says they were filled. It's where we get the word gorge from. They gorge themselves. They ate to the, were full up to the neck, and then they ate a little bit more and their necks were filled, as Brother Billy Kelly would say. They were gorged. They were stuffed. They couldn't eat anymore. That's the lavish supply of the true bread of heaven. That's the lavish supply of the Lord Almighty this morning, Him and this morning. There is wonder bread. There is the true bread. Oh my, sent down from heaven. It satisfies this crowd. Well, how can it not satisfy this crowd? For He is the fullness, as we're learning in the book of Colossians, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. How could He not satisfy this morning? Well, there is a way for Him not to satisfy. It's for you to not sit down, and it's for you not to eat. There is the command and the restraint. He says, make the men sit down. And if the book says, and if Christ says sit down, ye must sit down. I'd say some of that crowd said, well, bless God, I'm just going to stand around and see what happens here. And when basket after basket after basket kept going on by, they said, well, maybe I will sit down. Oh, my. He says, you must be born again. You can watch everybody else eat bread. You can watch everybody else get saved. You can see everybody else in your family get saved, but unless you are born again and eat of the bread of life, oh my, you will stay famished. You will die hungry. You'll die separated from God in hell. You must eat. You must eat. There's the commandment. There's the consumption. You must eat again. Oh, am I here this morning? The bread is ready. Wonder bread. Miracle bread. And you know what? Lost folks around us. Brother Brian, I want us to find, I think it's in this new hymn, A Little As Much When God's In It. Lost people around us need to see us eating. We that this morning, that are here, we're saved, we've ate of the bread of life. But I want to tell you, now I need to eat again and again and again and again. Have you ever sat down at the table with a hot basket of rolls in front of you? And you said, I'm not eating any bread. I'm not going to eat any bread. But everybody else is eating bread. The next thing you know, you got to have a biscuit. You got to have a roll. Oh my. If you and I are not eating of Him and feasting on Him, if you and I are not excited about Him, why in the world would anybody else be interested in Him? There is wonder bread. It is ready. It is ready. It is ready. We're standing. Live as much when God's in it. Won't you get a bite of bread? Meal of bread this morning, whenever you're ready, Brian.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it.
Why don't you trust Him with your need this morning? Why don't you draw nigh to Him this morning?
You call to labor seems so small and little known. It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forsake His
Sing
own.
It now.
Little is much now.
Now everything may be okay in your world this morning. Everything may be running smooth in your family, in your home, over to work, in your physical body. Everything may be smooth this morning. I hope and pray it is. That's something to rejoice about. But it's just going to be a few hours. It's just going to be a few hours from this. A storm that they thought was going to take them under. And they were gripped by fear. And we know why. The Holy Ghost tells us they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They forgot about the wonder bread. Everything may be all right in your world this morning, but you ought to get you a piece of bread. You ought to get you a couple rolls and get them stuck in your spiritual pocket, amen. You'll need the wonder bread before you get out of here. Father, thank you, the bread is ready. Thank you, Father, the bread is ready. I pray folks would eat. I pray folks would consume of thee, oh God, this morning. Thank you, God. When needs are beyond us, they're never beyond you. When needs overwhelm us, Lord, they don't cause you to fret. God, we're grateful what you do. Not only sustains, it satisfies. It not only supplies, it satisfies the need. Thank you, God. We know you, the true bread, the wonder bread. Put it in our hearts for your honor and your glory and for the days that are ahead. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen.